There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Hello, I'm Alan Davis. You're listening to the Tuesday Club. This is the Arsenal podcast, and I've got Keith Dover with me this evening. How are you, Keith?
I'm fine, Alan, but more importantly, how are you? Are you well? I've been told by Lucy that I have never said, how are you, Alan? And it's very rude of me. So I've been told by a fervent gooner that I've got to change my ways.
Yeah, Lucy makes a good point, but the truth of it is, I've never noticed.
Exactly. I didn't think you had it. And you don't give a toss one way or the other. Why should you? You're a human being.
Keith has been supporting Arsenal since 1887.
Yes, but I actually done a podcast guest appearance for Leeds United yesterday, which we can talk more about.
Oh. Yeah. Well, he didn't have anything for me there.
No, nothing for you. The world is getting decidedly drier.
I'm just going to stop saying that now. After 10 years, it's asking a lot to keep coming out with things about Herbert Chapman's walking boots or whatever it is. Atiyah Fapula is here. Hi, T.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Nice to see you. I haven't seen you for ages, it feels like.
It has been a while. I've been a little busier than I'd like to be, but I've been enjoying the podcast from afar, and it's nice to be back on. Although I could have chosen a better day to come back.
I doubt it, mate. I really doubt it.
No, fair enough.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen you, I feels like, for about 6 months, and I don't think Arsenal scored a goal in that time.
No, I think Aubameyang's had one shot in that time. But yeah, I mean, it's been such a tough day that I've not even got a baseball cap on today. I'm channeling my inner Marvin Gaye today with, as you know, Keith, around what's going on. You've seen those pictures of Marvin in his red beanie. Haven't you?
I've seen Marvin, yeah. I've got a Marvin Gaye album.
Which one? The best of?
No, not the best of. What's the classic one?
What's going on?
What's going on? That's the one. Classic album.
That's nice.
Excellent. I do like a bit of Marvin.
No one's seen a picture of Marvin Gaye in a red beanie, too. But I can see you in a red beanie.
Yeah. Bless you.
There you are.
I'll post it up on Twitter.
What's it say on your sweatshirt today?
It says house. It says house.
Because I can't see the U, it just says hose. and I thought, why does it say hose on his shirt? And now, of course, house.
I don't know these hoes. No, I mean, you'll remember from earlier incarnations of the podcast, then there was a brand called Million Hands, and occasionally I wear some of their stuff, and this is one of their house sweatshirts. So
it's beautiful. It's a beautiful garment.
That's the fashion update out of the way. Do we still have to talk about what happened today, or can we just carry on?
We're recording this, listener. It's just before 7 o'clock on Sunday evening. Kieran Tierney's been put in an ice bath head first, so he doesn't give a proper Glasgow kiss to the snide little git who got Pepe sent off. I must say, though, before we talk about KT, Pepe's having a great season, isn't he? This is just yet another chapter in an outstanding season of his putting together.
£72 million well spent, when you could have spent £24 million on Ollie Watkins, who could be the next Ian Wright. But no, we spent £72 million.
At least last season, he was not hitting the first man for his set pieces. He had that little moment where we were putting in some peach of a balls after putting in so much dross over the years. But he's even that's not part of his game now. There was one little burst in the first half. You knew. I remember when he first came, you were told that, you know, that will come out of him, you know, that kind of that hesitation. And you're nodding away, Keith, so you must know the one I'm thinking of.
He could have done it
first time. It would still never do anything first time, ever. You know what I mean? He probably says hello twice when he comes in the door.
It's frustrating, isn't it? There was a moment in the game where he had the opportunity to cross from the left-hand side. Is that the bit you're talking about?
That's exactly the bit I'm talking
about. And you could see Aubameyang on his toes making a little move. And then he checked and went again and beat the fullback. And Aubameyang, he said, well, now what are you going to do? And what he did was put a cross in that hit the bar and went out the other side.
Well, what they said on the radio, said he'd beaten the man. And all he had to do is clearly run and then do the crossover to Aubameyang. But then he's gone inside the man again.
I hate to mention the unmentionable, but when Ozil puts the ball in the box, he does it with an intent to find somebody. He does it with an idea. And the only player, now Ozil isn't in the squad, the only player who does that is Saka. He's the only player who you really believe has an idea in his head when he's putting the ball in the box. And he set up Aubameyang for a shot on the turn that he slightly missed it. That was our first shot on target. I think it was 59 minutes.
Yeah.
We didn't have a shot on target in the whole first half, just as we didn't against Man United. Although in that game, we controlled the game better and we were more dominant. It was a good performance. But
there was one horrendous forlorn close-up of Aubameyang and you're just thinking, damn, you know, he's looked a shadow of a player, and it's not all because of him. You know, when he's there was that time in the first half, was it? In the second half, where he got the ball. I think even Martin Tyler pointed it out. He's not going to score from there. You know, he got the ball in the final third, and looked up. Obviously, there's no one up there. And listen, we talked about Pepe. Regular listeners of this parish will know. There's nothing I love more than an inconsequential winger who's going to perform seven times a season. These are my favourite type of players. But Pepe is due a performance. And I also hate to say, you mentioned 72 million and 24 million for Ollie Watkins, Keith. I'll give you Wilf Zaha.
I'd do anything
for that well-worn path of Palace to Arsenal to happen again.
Isn't the problem, though, that we can't get the ball to these people in any kind of area without them being severely outnumbered? We don't seem to have any idea of how to progress the ball up the pitch quickly. We don't seem to have a 1-2 in our makeup. I was watching a documentary earlier. I didn't watch all of it, but I watched about half an hour of it, about Kenny Dalglish, which is on Sky Documentaries. And they show lots of clips of Liverpool at their best. And particularly when he was the manager and he had John Barnes and Peter Beardsley, it seems to be every goal seems to be set up with a 1-2. It's a 1-2 between Barnes and Beardsley or Ray Houghton or Aldridge. Keep all close together, thinking quickly, in harmony, ping ping, somebody's in. And we just cannot seem to work an opening or do anything at the moment. I can't understand how we've become such a kind of totally nullified attacking force.
Well, there's been a little bit of that, hasn't there, with Tierney and Saka on a good day, and we hesitate to mention again the old days. The thing about the old days is they're the old days, as Slim Charles once said. But no, but the 1-2s all the way up the pitch, Cole Pires, Henri Pires, you know what I mean? That was just backing up your point. We used to do that all the time.
Yeah, or even the days of Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil, or even if you had Olivier Giroud, you could play it into him and he would lay it off. He'd give you a wall pass. It seemed to be people who wanted to get together and play together. We look like a complete pack of individuals today.
Well, I think that's why we've enjoyed...
Totally outplayed by Leeds United. Again. How Leeds United didn't win that game? They hit the woodwork three times, haven't they? Leno's made 4 or 5 saves. They had about 15 other shots. They were opening us up time and time again and they must be absolutely kicking themselves.
Well, you've got to say Leno was probably man of the match for us.
Yeah, he's done it again, didn't he? One of the reasons why we've been enjoying Thomas Partey so much is, and even, you know, the reborn Elneny is because of that kind of forward motion and that midfield or lack of midfield that you're talking about. We saw that today, right? I know that Ceballos was very busy in the first half, especially, but there was no, you never thought, and adding to the fact that Leeds just do swarm you. We just done this thing recently and I was just reading about Bielsa's murder ball and how I've never, just watching him that closely, because you don't watch him, you own someone else's team that often. They're fit, they're fast,
They're absolutely below Arsenal in the league. They're down the table. They're dropping points left, right, and centre. Yeah. They're a team that we ought to be able to match. But I can't. We are absolutely, completely, bloody toothless. Willock had a game today. He looked devastated to be yanked. But there's absolutely no combination play across that front line. Willian gets yanked at half time. And it's starting to think that I was wrong and everybody else was right when they were saying, why have you given a 3-year deal to him? And I was saying, because he's super talented and he's Chelsea's best player last season and he's going to be a great influence on our young players. And they're going to learn a lot. Then I hear he's gone to Dubai for... What's he gone to Dubai for? Presumably to open a restaurant or something, right?
Oh, really? Now,
I don't know. I've made that up, Kiefer. What is he gone to Dubai for?
Well, it sounds believable. I mean, this is actually what you're just saying, which I was going to touch upon. Is the discipline at the club going a bit to shit at the moment? We hear about fighting in the training. If Willian's going to Dubai, Pepe's done a stupid... Listen, I know the guy made more of it, but...
I'm told that Willian is in business with Louise and he's in business with the super agent and they've got a restaurant in town and he's got all business interests in London and blah 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 blah, and I'm now, you know, thinking, hang on a minute, I think I've been told a fast way. Anyway, he's yanked at half time. He's yanked at half-time for Reece Nelson. I'm pleased to see Reece Nelson on the pitch. And you can tell, by the way, when about his business, he's absolutely desperate to be on the pitch.
Yeah.
But again, he's just another individual running around. Willock's running around. He's running around. Pepe, I don't know what's happening. Aubameyang looks like he wants to cry. And really, Xhaka's Xhaka. He's not going to do anything, is he? Mm. He can't play a 1-2 and get a shot off. He's got no desire to score a goal. Ceballos hasn't scored a goal in the Premier League yet. There's absolutely zero goals in midfield. They don't even want to get in the box and try and score a goal. They play the whole game on halfway and let other people try. They're more likely to get a goal from Hector Bellerin than from our midfield. At least he tries to get in the box sometimes. Even now we're playing with a flat back four. Why is he playing with a flat back four suddenly? What does he want to do? What's he want to do? I don't understand. I can no longer see a plan. I just feel very relieved that we've got two big, strong, good centre-halves and a decent keeper, because otherwise that game is a 4-0 defeat.
Mm. Unai Emery did not die for this, Alan. Unai Emery did not die for this.
But it is worrying because, you know, a defeat today, we'd have been dropped down to 15th. If we've lost two games at home against teams we should have beaten. And this is worrying times, mate. We ain't going to make we was hoping to make top four, weren't we? Top four, maybe. We ain't going to make top six, mid-table.
Meanwhile, Villarreal, third in the league. And let's not... I know where you're going with that, Al. I can see it on your face. They can't, can they?
I don't even look at the top of the table.
They can't. They can't, can they?
I'm living through some sort of hell where... Yes, they absolutely can.
Can they?
Yes, they absolutely can. Because they've got the one of the best strikers football has ever seen.
Yeah.
And the other one's not half bad. And they've got a massive squad for the good player. How have they managed to spend all this money on players whilst building stadium? I mean, apart from the absolute robbery of getting a loan from the government, they're paying 15 mil a year for a highly experienced, proven winner of a manager. Whereas, I hate to say it, and it's bleeding obvious,
but the reason
we hired Unai Emery and then we hired Mikel Arteta, one of the major reasons is they're cheap.
Mm.
They're cheaper. That's why, you know, you don't want, why would you go for Carlo Ancelotti, who's managed massive clubs, who's someone who's got the stature and the nous to properly follow Arsene Wenger? So we've just gone cheap on the coach, on the coaches. Great guy, Arteta, and I really want him to do well, and we are at least not conceding pots of goals. But he's very much a feeling of someone who's learning on the job, you know?
When we started the Tuesday Club again, we moved server, didn't we? Do any of the old issues editions still exist? I'm asking because somewhere there's one where I think I confidently predict that Harry Kane was going to be the new Michael Ricketts. And I'd like that one.
They're all, as far as I know, super. The guy, Martinelli of Producers Jay, has uploaded them all. So you could find all Michael Ricketts references.
Well, listen, we're at DEFCON 3 in that situation. Mm. If he goes to DEFCON 4 and they should win the Premiership, I'm going to move to the land that time forgot, and that's Jaywick.
What's Jaywick?
You've never been to Jaywick? Have you never seen Jaywick? Well, imagine the favelas of Brazil.
Is it out in Essex?
It's out in Essex, mate.
Yeah, I think I've heard...
It's a place where you don't want to drive through it and break down in daylight, and certainly not at night, right? It's, trust me, you Google it. Jaywick is a place where that's, I could hide there. This I survive, of course. But if that's where, if you know, I've knocked Finland off the list of places to move to. If that up the road win, I'm moving to Jaywick. No one will ever find me there.
Well, it's between them and Chelsea at the moment. I mean, you're really in a rock and a hard place, aren't you?
I'd take Chelsea any day of the week.
Keith, what DEFCON were you on the morning of the Champions League final?
Oh, God, don't bring that back. I'm definitely on DEFCON 4. That was, I couldn't sleep. I heard that Liverpool were 1-0 up, and then I got up in the morning and Linda said, what's the matter? I said, oh, I know it's going to, they've won 2-1.
Who are we putting our recent hopes and fears on Liverpool and now Chelsea?
Ain't it terrible?
What have we become, Keith?
We have really sunk rock bottom when we're hoping that Chelsea and Liverpool win the Premiership. And we're
listen,
not
I've got something to ask you about. You met Ceballos, actually. Are you getting a hint of the, it's not quite the Marseille starter about him, but like he's got a little bit of imp about him, hasn't he? Like, you know that.
Yeah, I don't mind all that. I just wanted to do something in the games. Do something, mate.
Yeah.
Do something effective near their goal. Get up the pitch. Try and play a 1-2 and get a shot off. Try and put someone in. Try and create a chance. Be a creative Spanish international midfielder. Mm. Stop busying yourself around the centre circle. Why can't our players get up the pitch and try and affect their penalty area? We're getting nowhere near their box. We're so easy to repel. And honestly, I think if there's one thing that Arteta could do that might improve things, it would just ban passing the ball backwards. If they just absolutely had to go forwards every time, then at least we would be occasionally down their end.
Mm.
I understand recycling possession. I get it that you want to swift round to the other side of the pitch and keep moving the ball and keep looking for an opening and all. I get all that. I get possession football. I understand it. But it gives players who lack confidence an out. It just gives them an out. Time and again, we get the ball in a wide possession in the final third and it ends up back with Gabriel or even with Leno. And we begin again. It's all you need to do is sit 11 people in front of us and we think this is an impossible conundrum. How it's impossible to get the ball in the goal. We're just going to have to go backwards.
I do think that's a little bit of a legacy of not having the fans in the stadium. So they can stay in training mode. They can stay in Arteta's, in the box that's kind of prescribed for them without... Because you know that doesn't wash at home. You know what I mean? Like, at some point, the ball's got to go forward. The crowd get restless. That patience probably works if you're a better team than we are. Because at the moment, that urgency is not there at all. There's no chances to speak of. What was the best chance today?
It wasn't not... one. Aubameyang had a scuff shot on the turn.
Yeah. I mean, we've gone, they said the stat at the time was like 6 hours without scoring a goal in open play. Well, that is probably after today's game, it's about 7 hours without scoring. When we do get a chance to break, it is so slow. And after last week's, after the Villa game, you was expecting a reaction. There was no reaction. No reaction today. We should have been coming out the starting blocks and going, come on.
Well, it is also insanity, isn't it, that they've gone away. Between the Villa game and now, Bukayo Saka's gone and played 3 games for England and has limped off injured today, and I hope he's all right. The madness of that Nations League not being cancelled. It's ludicrous. What are they doing? The whole season's concertinaed. You've just got to scrap these matches. There's too many vested interests and sponsorship deals done. They should have taken a 40-man squad and played three different sides, England. Mm. Everyone plays once, then go back to your club. Well, there's plenty of players. He's got a massive squad, Southgate. Just play three different sides, everyone have one game. Just do something to be sensible about it. No one gives a shit if we beat Iceland or not. No one cares. Of course they want to play, and it's fantastic that Saka's been noticed by England and he's a big part of the squad. He was man of the match in one of the games. But that is, we need him fit for Premier League games. He's our best player. He's a 19-year-old. He's our best player. Till Martinelli comes back. I'm pinning all of my hopes on bloody Martinelli.
Well,
he had a lovely chance today, Saka. You kind of wanted him to take that first time, didn't you? That was the best chance today.
That one, the one where he tried to round the keeper.
Yeah. Bellerin puts him in.
I watched the replay of that, and I'm thinking, how does Messi score here? Because Messi scores there, right?
So, right, he stabs under the ball when it goes over the keeper, no?
Right, he probably would dink it, or he'd just bang it round his feet before he goes down, before he's set, you know. He could just take it early. But Messi does something there, doesn't he? I think it involves going to the right-hand post, going over a keeper, dinking it over. But he missed it. It doesn't look like it's the one part of his game that he hasn't got a real clinical finish in him.
What do you make? Is it an attitude problem at the moment? Because I was disappointed with Arteta with his comments after the Villa game, because he said, "Well, this is down to me." Well, if it is, explain what you mean. It's down to you. What did you do wrong? Is there something you can tell us? Don't just say, "Well, I'm not blaming the players for that defeat. I'm blaming myself." Okay.
Well, he's protecting. He's protecting the players, isn't he?
If he is, that's far too. It wasn't, because that was a pathetic performance. We should have been 4-0. We should have lost. Could have been more.
Oh, Villa thrashed us, but then Leeds opened us up as well, again and again and again.
Yeah.
But different personnel in the midfield, and still the same holes, the same problems.
If they'd had Grealish playing today. Keith, what do you think of Grealish's calves? Because I haven't been on a podcast with you for a while.
I haven't looked at his calves, but I wish we had him in our team. I mean, and
just that kind of forward. Well, yeah.
Someone who could create, someone who's always running around the field. You know, you can never pin him down.
I mean, apart from any reason to mention him, there was something that reminded me of him today was whoever their left back is. Same as Grealish against us, they travel a long. Do you see that? Do you remember that as well? They travel a long way with the ball and that was what Villa's third goal came from. But
I felt in that game, and I know I'm not the only one who felt it, but this is a job for Maitland-Niles. It felt like to me, as someone who's tigerish and quick, and you've got to go on that side of the pitch. Grealish is a nightmare. It's going to cause us problems. You're going to have to go and do a defensive job over there against that player.
Yeah,
and
right.
Do not get sucked into fouling him. He'll come over to you, he'll bump into you, and he'll go down. If he bumps into you, make sure you go down first. And when you do, land on the ball.
We can take one crumb of comfort. They did dig in and defend well. All right, we got a big slice of luck with him hitting Woodward.
They hit the bar, they hit the post, hit the bar again. We were so lucky.
Yeah, we were very lucky. But there seemed to be, amongst the defence anyway, a certain amount of resolve. You know.
There is. Tierney's fantastic. Oh, we love Tierney.
Yeah.
I love the fight in Tierney. But also there was a moment in the game when he carried the ball out of defence and he's got his arms spread wide as he's running away from two Leeds United players saying, "Where's my pass? Where are you?"
Yeah.
The frustration that he's feeling. There's what team spirit and what collective unity there was has evaporated. It really is gone. And there's no real feeling of people knowing what they're doing on the pitch. And we pulled off a couple of low block classics in the cup, didn't we?
Yeah.
and we won the cup. And that was... Now it's about how you're going to evolve this football team so they get on the ball, dominate possession and score goals.
Yeah.
Get up the pitch. Stop passing backwards. This conservatism is killing me. Mm. We've had it. It's two managers in a row like it. This was not what Wenger wanted from his teams. Wenger wanted get up the pitch. Get it to Bergkamp. Get it to Henry. Get it to Pires. Get up the pitch and get some goals.
Express yourself in the final third, right?
Yeah. What? Be the footballer that you want to be. Yeah, get some shots off. Reece Nelson, play a 1-2 with Aubameyang and smash it in the top corner.
Well, Christ,
or try to.
Even under George Graham, we've been more attacking than we have been recently. We might have lumped it forward, but at least we were getting it forward. This is, it's just painful to watch, as you say. We just drag ourselves out and then it's back again and back again up to the halfway line, and then invariably it comes back. And if we do cross over into their half, it's been so slow that they've reformed their defence and they know.
Yeah, there
to
was
deal
a,
with
there
it.
Was a, again, there was a moment. I think Gary Neville might have pointed it out actually as well. Was plenty of moments where Gabriel, who I still really really like, Gabriel came out and almost did the same as you said about Tierney with his hands out and just had to turn back because he didn't have any, because he kind of didn't have any options. That classic, that classic hiding. I know Al, you've talked about this before. That ability for some players to look like they want the ball, but never ever actually properly showing for it. It's a real skill. We've got a few people who are doing that. And then you've got the inverse of that, someone like Willock, who does always show for the ball, but you could see the, whether it's the lack of experience or the lack of quality at this very level, where the ball doesn't stick to him. So he ends up in a sort of clumsy-ish kind of foul. But he's got
energy.
He
doesn't have a relationship with any of the players. I mean, what's he supposed to do, really? I can't see any improvement. I don't know what... Honestly, I'm pretty much speechless. I don't want to spend... we've done 28 minutes of
moaning.
But really, this season, I feel more... We went into the season feeling good, right? Because we won the cup. And we won the Charity Shield, and we had great young players coming up. And now we won a couple of games, first couple of games, you know. And we were a bit lucky to win against West Ham. We were a bit lucky to win against Sheffield United. The warning signs were well in place, and since then, we just did these grubby little 0-1s and 0-0s. That's miserable football to look at. You'd rather go down 3-2, wouldn't you? I mean, it's just something. Be a threat. I can't.
Listen, because I've seen there is a growing. A lot of people are not happy with Arteta. So would you?
Well, but they're not happy with not scoring and not winning.
Yeah.
And then, as always in football, the buck stops with the manager, doesn't it?
He'll
come under pressure. It will come under pressure if results carry on like this and the football carries on like this. We play Wolves next week. How are we going to... You know, they're notoriously difficult to break down and to beat. And they've got dangerous attackers. That's going to be a really difficult game in an empty Emirates Stadium next Sunday night. I tell you what, I don't think any of our players fancy it. I don't think any of them are looking forward to playing Wolves on Sunday. That's the problem. They're not thinking, give me that ball, let's go, it's Wolves, we'll knock these over 3-0. They think this is, oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's Wolves. Oh no, here they come.
Do you think the players really think about the lack of, like, there's nothing to get up for. There's no kind of, you know, there's no fans in the stadium. Do you think it's bothering them by now as well? Because I remember saying a couple of weeks ago when I was on here, whenever it was, that sometimes it's hard to get up for a game, even as a, you know, as a fan with the stadium as it is. Do you think it's the same for the players, or do you think they're comfortable with it? Because it's gone on a bit longer than any of us thought. You know, the novelty's worn off.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the same for the players as well?
I think
there's no energy.
I think you're right, but you alluded to it. Are they as a sort of atmosphere of it's like a training session in their sort of psyche? So when they turn up, it's an empty stadium, but they feel like they're more going. They're down at London Coney. So maybe this is that kind of thing.
I think that is bang on, actually. I think that they do so much preparation for the opponent they're facing. There's so much about Leeds United do this, Leeds United do that. We're going to set up like this because it's Leeds United. And they set up and they train like it. And then they get to the ground, it doesn't feel like a match day. Mm-hmm. And they're so drilled in this, you know, we're going to play with a four midfield and an Obertan in the middle. We're going to do this and do that. And out they go. And it doesn't feel like... Oh, well, you've forgotten the Kieran Tierney bit. You've forgotten the bit about really giving a shit, about beating your opponent 1-1, about really being in a battle and a fight to dominate Leeds United and to knock them over. That doesn't come in training because you're not really, even though Ceballos and Luiz supposedly had a little spat this week, it's not a proper spat, is it? It's all shake hands and all fine afterwards. You're playing with your mates a week and you lack the real fire in the belly, the real Tony Adams head banging, come on, let's do these. Let's get the points and go on the piss. There's no real feeling of it being a war out there. Get on top and dominate these United. We're not getting proper. There's no tackles going in. There's no fire in their bellies. And maybe that is because they do. It does feel like they're at London Colney.
I think Tierney. I think Tierney Ceballos would have had a little bit more of the Hartson Berkovic about it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, they definitely listen. They definitely need to go into work Monday morning and start looking at themselves and have a good team talking with each other, because this can't continue. This lack of hunger. We've just seen it at Villa. We've seen it again today. You know, we got a win at Man United. We thought, oh, okay, there seemed to be a bit of spirit in that game. And now it's totally gone.
They're garbage as well.
And we're looking like a team who's going to be fighting relegation, frankly.
But Thomas Partey was a big part of that performance. And we can't improve until we get Bukayo Saka fully fit and firing and Martinelli back in the first team squad and Thomas Partey back on the pitch, because really and then perhaps Aubameyang might come out of his hibernation. But if we get at the moment the form of Willian and Pepe and Lacazette has been so dire. Lacazette dropped today, Willian yanked at half time, Pepe Matt embarrassed himself. These are real top draw footballers earning a fortune, and none of them are delivering. And I feel like I think we're probably, between us, we've come to the why. There's no one bollocking them from the crowd. There's no noise. There's no one letting you know that ain't good enough. You've got to show a bit of fight. You've got to have a bit of, think about Rocky Road Castle. Just think, I remember Rocky Road Castle against Huddersfield Town in the League Cup. And they had a big left back who kicked him, really kicked him. And Rocky looked really, about 2 minutes later, Rocky went through this bloke. He went through him in a way that now would be a straight red, definitely. Just two-footed, took the ball as well, but absolutely. And then he stood up and he was kind of rolling his shoulders like a middleweight boxer, like a real, come on then, come on, it's you and me now for this match. And we didn't hear from that left-back again. But that was Rocky. That's what he was like. That's what Michael Thomas was like. That's what Adams was like. We've said it, I don't know how many times. You need seven. And there is no heart and no desire for a fight in that team, apart from Kieran Tierney. I think he's about the only one. He would be looking at, he'd be looking round, going, come on! And then he's going, no, KT, we've gone for a rub down. We brought 19 masseurs with us. We've got to use them.
Yeah. I mean, holding... I see something in him. I think that we've got some hope, but I don't know why have we got this malaise? I mean, if Arteta loses, if let's say, God forbid, we lose another three Premier League games, what are the senior management going to do?
God's not helping us here, mate. God's not helping you. We need a result badly, and we need a result starting against Wolves next weekend, because if we lose that, there's going to be a real tension about Arteta's situation. Yeah. Yeah. And if we're down in 14th in the league and Harry Kane scores a hat-trick next weekend, many of us will not want to come out of lockdown ever again.
No. In fact, I'll become a super spreader. I'm just going to go around without no mask and spread the disease as much as I can. I mean, the thing is, what you were talking about successful teams is... You look back in the old days, we had people, our defenders, not just our midfield, who would score goals. But we've got nobody in our team who's looking like he's going to score a goal at the moment.
There is kind of a sick joke that Sky seemed to do after games, where I always end up finding myself after a game now, finding Arsenal Premier League goals seems to be on. And then being stuck watching us when we were good. But what you notice is that you can see the decline in the team by the players that are coming to celebrate whoever's goal, if that makes sense. By the time Van Persie's scoring and he's been sort of surrounded by Silvestre and Lucas Perez or whoever is on like that, then you can actually follow the trajectory of the club through that. But it is a nice feeling. It looks weird because there's fans there. and we scored goals and we play some wonderful football, even in the so-called wilderness years, which do remind me. Did you see that Arsene Wenger did a Desert Island Dish today?
I listened to it.
How was it? I haven't listened to it yet.
Well, I Lauren Laverne is very, very good at that job. And she got a really good interview out of him, less related to football, of course, but more to do with him personally, his family, his parents, the personal cost of the way he's lived his life, his philosophy. But after our experience of having him on the podcast and hearing him speak in a lot of the same way, but then being interrupted by an obsessive nutcase who wants to talk about the absolute minutiae of a game 12 years ago. So she wasn't doing any of that. She wasn't picking up with specific points from the 2001 cup final, like someone who doesn't think about anything else, perhaps. But it's excellent and well worth listening to. I mean, he can't even fault his choices. He's going for the big names. He's going.
Record choices?
Well, he's gone Elton John. He's gone John Lennon.
Really?
He's gone Bob Marley. He's gone Frank Sinatra. A couple of French songs.
No classical stuff.
He's going big hitters.
Right.
Is he trolling us with? I haven't listened to it yet because he's got the Wonder of You on there. I see.
Yeah, but he's got the Wonder of You on there because it reminds him of Arsenal. It reminds him. You know, he's thinking when I'm on a desert island, I want to think. I want to be reminded of that. Anyway, let's do one. Let's go on, Keith.
Okay, no, just one thing, because we was going down to see my dad the other week, and on the radio there was an interview with Nicholas Bender, because he's got a book out. I think it's called Lord Bender or something.
Yes.
And it was actually, it was very interesting, because he does wish, he said, I wish I could go back in time and say to the young Nicholas Bender, basically, you idiot, you don't know what you're doing. And he said he was in a casino, and he lost up until that point £400,000. He got most of it back, but that's when he said, right, that's it, I'm not getting this on the head. And he said it was because he was fine when he was playing football, but if he was out injured, going to the casino was the only way of getting that adrenaline rush that he would get at a football match. And, you know, I mean, you know what we think about Bentner, but it was quite interesting, you know, and his perspective on it, and you know, he said he might try and go for coaching badges. He wants to stay in football.
No, why don't you just go and be a croupier? I don't know anything about casinos. I've been in two casinos in my life, right? And usually in Australia, that's the only place you can get a drink late. But I don't get it at all.
No, I don't.
They're sitting there, they're doing that with your money. But also, I don't get a business that can take £400,000 off someone and at no point say to them, "I think you've had enough, mate." I think we'll call you a cab.
Yeah.
it's just absolute robbery, isn't it?
Yeah.
The guy's obviously got serious mental health problems and they need to alert the authorities.
Mm.
But they don't. They just keep taking his money. All right. Do you want to play Spot the Commentary?
Yes, please. Let's lighten the mood. Come on, let's get it.
I don't think you're going to get this one. But I think you might enjoy... Now, remember what we're after. We're after the opponent. Preferably the season. If you can remember the specific match, so much the better.
Crowd of just over 26,500, just becoming a little bit subdued. As Arsenal fail to get the breakthrough, maybe now, Parlour, Merson, on his right foot, well struck! Fabulous strike by Merson, and bang on cue.
T, you're waving your hand.
Is it 92-93?
Yes.
Ooh.
Is it the FA Cup replay?
Yes.
And it's the Merce one, and he does that celebration. We're wearing the classic kit. It's the FA Cup winning goal, 2-1, Paul Merson.
It's, you've got a lot
FA
of it
Cup,
right.
FA Cup against 93, Leeds. It's a replay. Was it 2-2 up there?
It was 2. This is the 2-2.
This is the 2-2. Got it.
Leeds United, who had an excellent team with Strachan, Speed, McAllister, Dorigo, top players all over the pitch, and Lee Chapman. And they they went 2-0 up.
Yes.
And Parler scored, a young Ray Parler scored, and then Merson cuts in from the left-hand side.
Love that goal. He's got such a great celebration. Yeah, I love that goal. God,
that's coming back again
to me. Brilliant.
Good one.
Yeah,
well done,
yeah. 1993. That was that one. All right, now, okay, let's see. You'll enjoy this one.
Pepe, willing, able, pacey, drives on, Lacazette, Pepe, Reece Nelson's in there, and he squeezes it in, and Arsenal go in front. A complete turnaround in every way.
Is it?
Eh?
Oh, who's the German team in the UEFA?
No.
What God. World is it where 27 years ago is in perfect clarity?
Yeah.
It's not where we beat Leeds in the cup last year.
Yes, it is. Reece Nelson's winning goal bundled in from close range.
Yeah.
It was from at the beginning of this calendar year when we played an excellent Leeds United team and scraped through 1-0, and of course went on to win the cup in what was the highlight of Mikel Arteta's
short career.
And so, oh, Mikel, please.
Please be good. That's like, Mikel, please be good. We still want
please
him to be
good.
Mikel,
he's like the pilot of an aeroplane, isn't he? He's got hold of the controls and he's trying to pull back the joystick.
He needs two or three more windows.
Yeah.
He needs to get people out in the club who aren't pulling their weight and get people in the club. He needs to really, it's a difficult bloody mess.
Can't we drive some of those players out to a forest somewhere and leave them? And those who make it back can go back to the club because they're clearly the strongest.
Yeah. Oh, that's very rational.
Yeah. Listen, that's, you know, we could claim on the insurance. You know, if you took all that deadwood out to the Dartmoor and then with a, you know, no compass and go, right, find your way back. Those who make it, you've got a contract. Those who haven't, and
well,
then
being the cunning linguist that you are, Keith, then if I say to you that, I mean, it's the Fiesta conversation has come back up again, hasn't it?
The Fiesta.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, well, you might need a bigger car, mate, to be honest.
Who's in the Fiesta? Thomas Partey's in the Fiesta, isn't he, Keith? See what I did there?
I think he's in the Fiesta, but...
You didn't see what I did there, did you?
No, I didn't see
what you
did there.
No, what did you do there? I didn't see it either.
Thomas Partey's in the Fiesta. Fiesta is Partey.
Manager.
Oh, no.
I think you've slightly overrated what you've done there. All right, now look, it's one all. You've got one each.
What we're going for this? Is it the car or the
this is the decider. This is the decider. Okay.
Right, go on.
Here we go.
And Xavi. Alex Song. Oh, through for Henri. What a moment!
Yes. Of course. I actually thought for the decider. I'm glad you did that one. I actually thought for the decider that you'd do Hasselbank just
piss him off.
I wouldn't do it to you. But come on now. What game is it? 2012. The opposition?
2012, January the 12th. Thierry, left hand side of the box, Leeds FA Cup replay.
The greatest goal
return of the king.
So there are three goals, FA Cup goals, against Leeds United. See what I did there? In the days when we used to have a shot. So that was good. T, you've won there, 2-1. There's no prize.
I enjoyed that.
You get to keep the beanie. So now we'll do... do you want to do guess the lineup for that? Do you know, T, now? Because I know that you made a podcast about this goal. So do you think you might know the lineup? Is this going to be a bit unfair?
I don't think I do. I did make that. I know. No, I don't know the side.
Okay. So let's do guess. Let's do guess the lineup with the Arsenal team 2012 that beat Leeds in the cup.
Shamak played because I know he came off for Henri. There was a Greek.
That is correct. Shamak won.
There was a Greek guy. He only played, I think, in that action.
Tavlaridis.
No, yeah, Yadidis.
Tavlaridis.
No.
Mikel played, though. No, I'm saying Tavares because he said that Mikel played, because Mikel got in on Thierry's celebration. So Mikel played.
Yes, and that is one of the ones that you were never going to get in a million years. And it's come up number two. The number 49, the left-footed, slightly good-looking Spanish lad we brought in, who we thought might have a big future, but it's just one of those Wenger signings that appears, looks really good, and then disappears. Who was in goal? Let's start in goal.
Who was the keeper?
Oh, it's... I'm going to say Chesney
goal.
Was in goal.
Wearing the number 13 shirt. Do you want to have a stab at the reserve goalie?
Martinez. Emi Martinez
was on the bench. Do you want to know, can you remember his shirt number? This is Emi a good one.
53.
59. No, that is, I would pay, I don't know, £100 for that shirt.
What a difference.
The Emi Martinez 59 shirt from January 2020.
What a difference 8 years makes, eh? Right, so our left back that day would have been...
Well, I think the left back was Mikel.
Mikel was
the
left back. Did Vermaelen play?
Vermaelen's not there.
Is he left in 2012?
Vermaelen's not there. No, maybe he's not fit. I don't know. There's a midfielder at fullback. I'll give you that clue.
It's a midfielder at fullback.
Yeah. Do you want more clues, or do you want to start guessing?
Oh, I'm so bad at this sometimes.
Okay, I'm going to give you a clue. The other three players in the back four, apart from Mikel, are all French.
Did Sanya play that day?
Sanya's not there, no.
No, who's the guy?
Koscielny, right? Koscielny.
Koscielny, boom.
Koscielny played.
Koscielny. Right. Yeah. So you've got four of the team now.
Did Squillaci play?
Squillaci! Sebastian Squillaci, the man who looked like he couldn't believe it when the ball came near him. What is this? I don't have anything to do with this.
Keith, was Clichy winning league titles by then, or was it Clichy?
Clichy's not there. Now, then the other one is a midfielder.
Midfielder or left back?
French midfielder playing right back.
French midfielder or right back? Coquelin.
Coquelin. So he played a few games at fullback and looked like he might be a good fullback, actually.
So we know Son played because obviously he played the pass.
He did.
So Song plays in midfield. So we got four. We need another three in the midfield that day. Who would we have had on the wings that day? Wingers who weren't wingers. Tricky players who could play anywhere.
I tell you what, we had some great players. We had some great players.
Was Bentner on the pitch that day?
No. Why does Bentner keep coming into conversations about great players? This is not... Arsenal midfielders. Around about 2012. I'm going to give you a further clue. No Wilshere, no. Three of these Arsenal midfielders went on to win FA Cup winners' medals. Not that year, obviously.
Ramsey's playing. Cazorla is... Cazorla.
Not Cazorla.
No, we wouldn't play Cazorla in a... No. Ramsey,
we're not to,
Song...
Went on to win FA Cup medals. Mm-hmm. But not necessarily with us.
No, with us.
With us.
Arsenal.
Oh, right, with Arsenal. Okay, well...
You've seen one of them. You saw him play 300 times.
Jesus!
People are screaming.
I know they are. Which makes you go,
come on,
Arteta.
Who have you known?
Oh, I know.
Arteta.
No, Arteta. I was about to say Arteta.
Arteta and Song.
Did we have? Yeah, we did have the Ox then, didn't we?
The Ox!
Oh, God, yeah.
The Ox.
We had the Ox then.
Yeah.
So Thierry came on for...
Has he played for Liverpool?
I know. No.
Shamak came off.
Little man. The only person... Well, he actually is taller than me still, but Arshavin plays.
Arshavin plays. And you got the other midfielder, didn't you, already?
Ramsey.
Oh, so that's the side. Yeah. That
right. Oh, my God. That's not a bad side.
Yeah. That's the side. Chesney in goal. Back four of Coquelin, Scolacci, Koscielny and Mikel. Midfield of Arteta and Song with Ramsey, the Ox and Arshavin playing behind the human dynamo that was Marouane Chamakh.
What is the Ramsey situation?
I know. The other...
One of them came on early because Coquelin got injured, and the guy who came on recently made his debut for the Chinese national team.
Yanaris.
It's the Greek fella. Yanaris, isn't it?
Yanaris.
Yes.
That's, you were right.
Yes.
Because he had a very good game. He had a very good game in that.
The Greek fella.
Yeah, the right. Greek fella.
Okay, they come all tumbling
and
out.
And one other player, there's one other player you need to get, who is the player who, it was a double substitution when Henri came on. Another player came on with him.
Mm. I want to say,
no one remembers, but...
We used to.
I watched it.
We used to really slag him off. But I'll tell you what, I'll bet you £100,000 that Nicolas Pepe does not score more goals for Arsenal than this.
He's part of the 100 Club. It's a Theo Walcott.
Theo Walcott came off the bench. And they the other subs were Martinez was mentioned, Yossi Benayoun, Rio Miachi, and Chusun Park. Is that his name? And playing for Leeds was a very young Andros Townsend.
Wow.
Things you can't remember.
That was still one of the... That's like... that just makes me sad about not having fans in the stadium again. Yeah. That was such a mighty night.
It was a lovely night.
That was a real together night, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a real together.
Are we getting back in before Christmas or not? I mean, not before Christmas. Are we getting back in this season?
Well, that's a very good point. I can't see it at the moment. I would say next... I'd reckon probably about March or April time. I can't see it. It won't be this side of Christmas, that's for sure.
Because if they do...
Do you want to go?
It doesn't count if there's no fans there, right? We can put an asterisk by it.
Oh, certainly never happened. We could just say it never happened. But wouldn't that be lovely?
Never happened.
The fact that they'd won the Premiership and no one there to see it. So, we've got Mulder in the week. Do you think we might score against them Thursday night?
At home, is it?
Away?
I honestly don't know.
In that case, no.
I have an email from Joseph Robinson has emailed me, and he sent a YouTube clip, which you could probably look up. I didn't know this had happened. Ashley Cole was playing for LA Galaxy, and he managed to get two yellow cards in the space of 15 seconds and got sent off. And it's quite a good... he said, I was working on an IT project in Kansas City. I decided to make the most of my weekends and watch as much sport as I could. And I went to an MLS match, Sporting KC versus LA Galaxy. Fairly boring, 1-1, but it did feature Ashley Cole. He played fairly well, comfortably a level above the locals. But in 15 seconds of madness, he picked up two yellow cards and was giving his marching orders. I had been drinking since about 9 a.m. as I'd been at the pub with the KC Gooners to watch an Arsenal match in the morning. And we gave him a particularly enthusiastic goodbye. Sadly, he didn't lift his head to give us the satisfaction. And I've watched the clip. Thanks for that email, Joe. I've watched the clip. He gets booked taking a throw-in. He gets booked for time wasting. He takes the throw in, there's a bit of a ping around in midfield, and he just clatters someone. Absolutely mistimes a tackle, will clatter someone, and gets a second yellow. 15 seconds later, there's a little bit of to in and fro in, and then off he goes.
To get back to that Mulder game, the only reason why I bring it up, because I actually find one of these betting companies was actually doing the commentary, because none of the major radio stations were doing the commentary of the, you know, UEFA Cup game. But what was weird, they only have one commentator who was doing a good job, I've got to say. But you know when they put on the crowd noise, it sounded like, and Alan would remember this, you know when there'd be a European Cup match for some bizarre reason at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because we were playing Hajduk Split or Belgrade, Motor Croft, Loco, Leipzig or something. They had that kind of crowd noise. And this was meant to be coming from the Emirates. And I'm thinking, the Emirates has never sounded so loud. It was bizarre, but in a kind of distant way. If you remember when you used to tune into your radio, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we'd be playing some team out in a field somewhere in Eastern Europe. And it was that kind of distorted crowd noise.
Yeah, I do remember those radio commentaries.
Yeah.
We had Stoney was on last week and he was saying he's loving I love the Europa League.
He's changed his mind on that. A few podcasts ago, he said, I can't do with the Europa League.
Well, we all bloody love the Europa League. It's the only league we have any shots or score any goals in. I have no optimism about our future prospects over the next few weeks. Got some difficult opposition coming up and a team short on confidence and ideas, is putting it mildly. So I'm a bit scared, actually. I've had an email from Joe Searson. He's been quite kind to me about mispronouncing anime last week. He quotes Stephen Fry, never make fun of someone if they mispronounce a word. It means they learned it by reading. Quite right. Quite right. And then he says he once said hyperbole instead of hyperbole. But he also says he's a Blackburn fan. And just to let you know, we refer to Burnley as bastards too. So that's just cleared that up. They each hate one another, which we kind of suspected. There is a Teddy Sheringham shitbag story. I'm just trying to find it at the moment. Teddy Sheringham. Sheringham at the 195 nightclub in Epping. Friend of mine was a bouncer at the 195 nightclub. This is an email from Neil Maguire. Thank you, Neil. I approached the front of the queue because he thought his mate would let him in, right? That's the deal. But three guys cut in front of me as I got to the front of the queue. It was, of course, Teddy Sheringham and two of his friends. But before Teddy and his mates were about to go in, my bouncer mate sees me standing behind and tells me to come in before Teddy. Teddy wasn't happy. Neither were his mates. I strolled in without being searched, I might add. I turned around, Teddy Sheringham being patted down by the bouncers. He was livid and I found it very amusing. I saw him in the very small VIP section of 195 and he was eyeballing me, wondering who I was. Don't worry, Teddy, I'm a nobody. But I made sure him and his friends were sent three gin and slimline tonics. Cheers Teddy, enjoy your night.
Outstanding. It is with disappointment and of course pleasure to say that did you see Bob Wilson's tribute to Ray Clements on Football Focus a couple of last week? He was disappointingly amazing and courteous and wonderful as well as ever was Bob Wilson. So still on the search.
Yeah, of course.
Still on the search for some top-level filth.
But, got to say, great goalkeeper, Ray Clements.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that Ray Clements was a bit of a legend as well, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but he played for Tottenham for 7 years. I went down to Tottenham. I had a girlfriend at university. And who was from Yorkshire, and her football team was Barnsley, and Tottenham played Barnsley in the cup, one of the cups, and I went in the Barnsley end and stood behind the goal, and shouted abuse at Ray Clements for the whole game, and I think Barnsley won. I can't remember. It's quite high scoring. Clements made a mistake. I became absolutely certain that I was in his head and putting him off. He was a good keeper, but he was he played for Tottenham, so.
So we can't.
I don't know. Bob Wilson should be ashamed of himself. Tribute to him. No, it's very sad news, of course, and condolences to all his family. Now, Neil Maguire goes on in his email to say an apology to Tyre. Years ago, we made a joke, of course, about Louis Walsh saying to a young black singer who looked nothing like Lenny Henry, you remind me of a young Lenny Henry. And this guy, Neil, confesses that he sent you T tweets saying, "You remind me of a young Lenny Henry." I don't think I found it amusing 6 months on from the original joke, and I've always felt bad about it. Please send my apologies to him. I didn't mean to cause it. This isn't quite having the impact of the Barnsley fan writing a letter to Ian Wright to apologise for racial abuse. But in its own small way, it is a similar note of progress being made.
Listen, it is... once this podcast finishes, I will be watching Steve McQueen's Small Axe and all these little sort of spiritual reparations are accepted. So thank you. Thanks for the message.
Yeah, good lad, Neil. I saw the McQueen exhibition at the Tate and it's not there anymore, but it was fantastic. But there's no conversation to be had.
He was a couple of years above me at university.
Was he? He's a great man. Gents, we play Mould on Thursday. We play Wolves on Sunday. After that, I'm not even going to look at the fixtures. I know that lurking somewhere is a horrible experience.
That monster, I mean, this season, coming over the hill.
This could be, if we can beat Tottenham and in so doing deprive them of the point they need to win the league, this is where we are. We have swapped places. We are mid-table with a mismatch of rubbish, desperate to get bad players out and good players in, and they are flying at the top of the league with a world-class attack and a superstar manager, and it's unbearable. I mean, it's making me unhappy just saying it.
Well, listen.
I don't even find it funny that the ground looks like a toilet bowl anymore.
You will do on the last day of May when the universe is restored. We managed to stay in this country and start recording this podcast after the Champions League final. The universe will provide again.
We'll beat them in the Europa League final.
Oh, God, no. But I don't want to be in Poland with that mob. Let's play a foreign team. I don't want to play that mob, you know. Unless you're saying that's a nailed-on win against Spurs. I want a nailed-on guarantee psychic win from you that we're going to, you know. I don't want to know ifs and buts.
Psychic win.
Well, you know, sometimes you predict shit sometimes and it actually happens. So if you're having one of your Nostradamus moments, I'm in.
Oh, I can't promise you that. What I can promise you is a nil-nil against Wolves.
Do you think we could muster that up? Yeah. Oh, nil-nil.
Anyway, gents, chin up. Chin up. Ainsley Maitland-Niles will play on Thursday, and that is one of the few things in life that gives me pleasure. The sight of Ainsley and back out on the field, and he'll play a starring role as we demolish Mulder.
Up the Arsenal.
See you later, gents.
See you, guys.
Cheers, lads.